Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm addicted to money. So for the next 50 seconds, I'd like to feel dirty, inconsiderate, manipulative, and ashamed. I apparently agreed to play the game of life by the rules made by the rich in order to make them more rich. And because I feel powerless and out of control, I am asking you to listen to this ad for Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your computer or phone. Anchor will distribute your podcast wherever you can get podcasts. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And everything you need to make a podcast is in one place. So download Anchor for free on the app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So yeah, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host. And this week we are back with Adam Nutter from the Cult of Us podcast. Or is it Cult of Us? Or is there
Cult,
is
cult
it
yeah, the... no, cult of Us. Just Cult of Us.
Okay. I keep saying the. I don't think that's correct.
It doesn't matter.
Cult of Us. I think people will find it. Cult of Us.
Yeah, Cult of Us podcast. And we're going to be talking about all things comedy and like scam related. I kind of wanted to make that other episode that we did, that shorter one that got interrupted, which was totally fine. A bridge episode.
Chaos is at my goddamn house.
It's like, so fine.
Wife and dogs barking at me and goddamn cage. Yeah, it was not. But now I'm at the studio, no distractions, so we're all good.
Literally, no one cares. We don't care. It's super chill. That's just kind of the vibe I want with this podcast. That's what I'm going for anyway. But I wanted that one, that other one, to be sort of a bridge episode, to like talk about comedy and then like. I mean, scams also too, but more than just like scams, but like, how do you make something serious like that? Something that, you know, affects a lot of people that very, very easily could be blown out of proportion, you know, get canceled for it immediately, you know, my grandmother, you know, just all the hate in the world. How do you take something serious like that and A, attempt to make it funny for a lot of people, and B, if you successfully make it funny, how do you navigate that? Like, do you have to put like a PSA on like at the front of that and be like, these are just jokes, everybody? Like,
no,
calm
if you do
down.
That, it's what's the point of doing comedy, right? It's like, right. The whole point of it is like, I'm a crazy person. Well, I mean, for me anyway, it's like, so how I am on like comedy, even podcasts and stuff, is like, I just play a very over exaggerated version of myself, right?
Yeah, right, that's kind of like, isn't that what comedy is supposed to be though?
Was this just, I mean, no, some people play themselves, some people play a completely different character, right? Like I am true to who I am. It's just I make myself just a little more like intense or a little more crazy just because it's funnier, right? So it's like I am also like that in real life in some things for sure. Like I tell stories in the podcast that are they're real stories. Like I'm not embellishing the story. Like it's I'm like
right.
You're like, are you a crazy person? It's like, no, I definitely am. But
yeah,
like,
100%.
But 100%. But it just a lot of when it comes to like anything serious, like scams, terrorism, fucking cancer, whatever, right? Anything serious, there's pieces of funny in everything.
Right.
No matter what it is. And we could all, even if you want to agree with it or not, like you have to take your emotions out. If you're how angry you are, or how happy you may be, or sad, or whatever the case may be, we could all strip down and go, well, we all agree that that's kind of universally funny in a sad situation. Like, let's say, like, a death, right? You'd be like, well, that fucking Uncle Ricky's a real fucking asshole. And then everyone would be like, oh, we all have an Uncle Ricky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though the event of, let's say, your mother dying, your father dying is very sad, and that's a sad thing that a lot of people could be like, I don't want to talk about my dad dying. It's like, no, but that's not the joke. The joke is the carnival around your dad dying, right?
Yeah.
So, like, your uncle's an asshole. The fucking coffin fell. It rained. Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the funny in it. It's not like, and this is why I hate cancel culture. It's like, because cancel culture will be like, you made a joke about a dead dad. And you're like, no, that's just the vessel.
Right. It's like the setup or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Structure. Yeah, setup. So dead dad or whatever, or cancer, that's the vessel. The jokes are everything else about that, not cancer.
Right.
So the jokes are like, yo, fucking needles are crazy or whatever. I mean,
or whatever.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing shitty fucking examples. Yeah. Like, or you get to talk about like how people are sad. And you're like, hey, stop being sad around me. I'm the one dying or whatever the fuck may be. That's the funny shit. You know what I'm saying? That's the funny. But cancel culture goes, no, cancer's not funny. You can't make jokes. It's like, well, you're an idiot because you don't have nuance. And because you don't have nuance doesn't make me or us not good or make us not funny.
Right.
You're dumb. You're dumb. Yeah. Like, you're the dumb one.
Yeah. No. I mean, I love Bill Burr. I think he's hilarious. I mean, I don't know how people, I can't keep up. First of all, I cannot keep up. I don't know what's happening. It feels like every other minute that I like open Twitter or some sort of social media app, some new person is being canceled for something I don't know about or don't really care about. But I like Bill Burr. And I saw him interviewed. I mean, I wasn't there. It was like a YouTube video or whatever. But he was on like Good Morning America. I don't know. Some like one of those bullshitty shows like Good Morning America. And they were kind of asking him the same thing. Like, well, you know, like, cancer's like not funny, you know, like and he's like, yeah, no, that's not, it's not what I'm trying to say. Like, first of all, you're coming to a comedy show. So just go in understanding that you're here to like, I'm here to make you laugh. But second of all, comedy, like it shouldn't, like nothing should be off limits. And I thought he put, I don't know if he said these exact words, but basically it was something like cancel culture is bullshit because they're just like the fun suckers. They try to like suck all the fun out of everything. So, and he's like, I can't live in that world. I just can't.
This is cancel culture. This is who they are. They are people who have never accomplished anything. They're low status people who have never accomplished anything or own anything, have any sense of self-worth. And that's their way of trying to level the playing field with successful people where they go, I don't have talent. I don't have money. I don't have a fucking career. I'm a fucking loser. So I could be like, you're racist. And then look at me go, pat, pat, pat. I'm a fucking great. I'm a hero. It's like, you're a piece of shit. No one. But low status people hold that above you. That's what they do.
Right. Okay.
So you have to go. Yeah. So you have to go, okay, well, I'm better than you. You can eat my dick. Like, it's that simple. Like, Bill Burr also says this. Like, he is one of his specials. He talks about cancel culture. And he goes, you know, he's like, if you're a jerk, then apologize. But if you're not, then fuck them.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's like, what are they going to do to you? What's their little group? And he's right. Like, I don't want to just do his bit, but it's true. It's like, they'd be like, you were mean. Like, well, it was just a joke. They're like, well, it was mean. Okay. Well, I don't care. And then what do they, like, because their power relies on you bending your knee. If you don't bend your knee, there's no power. They don't hire you. Like, I'm a comic. Yeah. Like, they're not, the cancel culture mob doesn't fuck. First of all, they're not coming to my shows.
You think they're
super into Adam Nutter comedy?
Well, no, I mean, not. But if they are, they still bought a ticket. So, in other words, thank you for coming to the show. You suck. But thank you for buying the ticket.
Right. And I still get your money. But like my point is like, and that's the other thing is like who, like I'm too busy doing shit with my life to hate watch stuff.
Yeah. I don't have that kind of time, man.
Like I'm trying to do comedy. I'm trying to make podcasts. I'm trying to be married. I'm trying to have a dog. Like I'm trying to fucking live my life. And I don't have time to sit down to a podcast I think is fucking offensive and listen to it to blog about it on Twitter like a fucking loser. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have that in me.
That just seems like a lot of work, first of all. Like, why would anybody want to just do that? Also, like, I call it like the Slytherin part of me that's just very, that I get, there's some Schadenfreude there for me where, like, if people, you know, are cancel culture or like the mean people that are like, I'm just going to sit here and like, you know, hate comment or hate tweet or whatever people. And it's like, I'm living rent free in your brain. Like, I feel incredibly important right now because I'm clearly taking up space in your time, in your day, your energy, like all of these things. And you're spending way more time thinking about me than I am about you. So
it's bananas. like bananas. It's like, take this fucking energy and put it into something that you care about.
Right.
Like, this is what's... There is so much content out there and so many avenues of content out there for you to get your balls in a twisty knot over someone being like, oh, I don't care about this group of people. Like, who gives a shit? Don't watch it.
That's what I think. I'm like, well, just don't. Like, I don't listen. If I listen to so many podcasts just like in general. And so if I come across a podcast and I don't like it, I do not waste time commenting, rating, reviewing it, tweeting about it. I turn it off and never look at it again. Like, and then it's gone. It's
That's
never
why I
like
hate Yelp. Cause like it's useful, but like I don't like it because I'm like, this is rat bitch shit and I hate it. This is like mafia, like a rat. It's like if I go to a restaurant with my wife and it sucks, you know what I go? I go, this place sucked, huh? And we never go back there.
Right.
I don't go online and be like, this restaurant. It's like, who the shut up, you loser. Like, just tell your friends it sucked like everybody else used to do in the 90s and fucking move on. Like, don't like, you're not better than everybody because you could go online. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's that low status shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I will not do it. I will not leave a review online unless it's positive.
Review, I do that too. If it's positive, it's the thumper from Bambi rule. If I don't have anything nice to say, then I'm just not going to say anything at all.
Now,
kind
I'm
of a
not
thing.
Saying, like, if you got, if like a company's being like, fuck, like, predatory on you, like, yeah, you should speak up. But I'm saying, like, if this restaurant is like, if it isn't good to your liking, don't roast it. Like, don't tear it. Like, it's no reason for that. Like, I hate that mentality. Like, I just hate it.
But going back to
dark comedy and like making things like the great Patrice O'Neill, who, if you don't know who Patrice O'Neill is, Patrice O'Neill.
I know who he is, but I have never like heard anything that
he's my all-time favorite comic. All time.
Okay.
Number one. He was brilliant.
Oh.
Like, outside, I think he was like a brilliant dude. Like, I really do. Like, a sense of like how he could, even if you disagreed with him,
you'd know.
Be like, God damn, dude. Fuck,
no,
you make some
those
good
are
point.
My favorite people to watch are the people that I disagree with. Those are my
favorite. This is perfect because he had this bit and it was on his HBO half hour special from like 2000, I want to say like 7.
Oh,
and a woman used to be like, you're a misogynist to him all the time, right? He had this bit where he would go, listen, ladies, if you lost your pussy in a train accident, right? And you couldn't have sex with your man anymore. He goes outside of, you know, he's like, what would you do to keep your man around? And this is what's brilliant about him.
Blowjobs.
He goes, you guys can answer. He lets the woman in the audience answer. So they go, blowjobs, anal.
Right.
He goes, okay, blowjobs, and okay. He goes, stop. He goes, you guys have been classifying me as misogynist all night. I just gave you a chance to lift yourself up more than sex, and you guys classified yourself as a series of holes. He goes, none of you said learn how to play Xbox, tell better stories, bring a bitch over with the pussy. Fair.
That's like, fair.
But that's a brilliant turn. Because what you just said, you said it too. You were like, blowjobs. See what I'm saying?
I did.
You did it.
Well, and then my original thought was anal, but then I was like, blowjobs are better. So yeah, like I went straight to the biological like sex thing too. Fair.
And that's the brilliant part. Is people are like, he's like, you're misogynistic. He's like, am I? I just gave you a chance to say that you're more than just a sexual meat puppet. And you guys were like, we're just sexual meat puppet. It's brilliant. It really is a brilliant turn. But he guys like him who could do shit like, and he had a bunch of crazy, dark, philosophical shit. You got to really go watch him. But even what the brilliance of Patrice O'Neill, too, is like, even outside of a stand-up, go listen to him on old episodes of Opie and Anthony. Some of the funniest and most prolific, brilliant stuff though you ever heard in your life. Like they had this bit one time. He would talk about how sci-fi movies from the Sci-Fi Channel, they just rip off like famous movies but change the name a little bit.
So they started
just yelling out like famous movies, and he would just make them sci-fi name movies. So they would be like So someone goes Jurassic Park, he goes Dinosaur Forest. Like, shit like that, like, is, like, the brilliance of him. Like, you gotta go watch him. But yeah, so, like, him, Jim Norton, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, they can make really dark, fucked up things very funny. David Tell's an all-time great at that, too. A lot of guys. And, you know, again, personally, I talk about myself a lot, or just like even some observational stuff. I'm not talking about anything like I consider controversial. I don't talk about politics, right? Even though like I'm a political dude, I don't talk about politics in my comedy. I don't talk about like anything like I don't talk about like rape or anything like that, right? So like that's out. Like so it's none of that is, like, controversial thing. So like I'm pretty good. I talk about like just drug stuff, marriage stuff. Stuff like that, like just funny shit about me that you guys be like, ah, you fucking idiot. Like, I make myself the butt of the joke a lot.
Yeah.
So you can't really get mad. you know?
Well, you can. It's just unfounded anger.
It's just like I'm limiting, and I'm not doing that on purpose, right? I'm not doing that because of cancel culture. That's just my comedy, so I'm kind of lucky. Right. But friends of mine, that's who they are, and like they have to battle that, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not that people. They're just fucking funny dudes.
Right.
And I'm talking about, like, of all skin and race color, like, white friends of mine, black friends of mine, like who get shit on for being, like you can't say that. I mean, he's like, I'm black. What do you mean I can't say the thing about a black guy? And, like, shit like that. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's just, I can't even. Well, and, again, cancel culture. I don't even know what happened. I like Louis C.K. I liked his last special on Netflix that he did. It was fucking brilliant,
right? Whoever it was.
The one where he like talks about abortion and he
wasn't that called like 2020 though. The name of the special was called like 2020 or 20, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I just remember it was
but yes, but that's
recent,
but that was, that's what's brilliant about him though, and that's the nuance of that perfect fucking example.
Yeah,
because he's showing both sides, right? He's like
they think babies are dying,
but he's right. He's 100. And like, you know, and then you have some people who are on the far left look at that and be like, eh. And then you have some people on the far right look at that and they're like, eh. It's like, yeah, but he's showing the nuance of both sides. Right. And you guys are just tunnel visioned.
Exactly. Exactly. I love his comedy. I think he's hilarious. I mean, I just feel like more and more comics that I see are either getting canceled for some stupid bullshit that I'm like, why is this even a problem? Like, don't we have bigger problems to solve? Don't we have other things we should be doing than Harvey Weinstein, that's a little bit
raping.
Of a different, right? That's a different situation. Do deserve to be canceled. But like, Louis, to this day, I don't even know why he was canceled. It was something that I feel like got blown completely out of proportion.
Once you
know
the whole story, and especially in the comedy world, you hear like other stuff, and you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is bullshit. The Chris D'Elia thing.
Right.
Was bullshit.
I was so sad. Oh my God. I remember the day that I like. No, yeah, creepy, but not illegal. I mean, I was so sad. I remember the day that I found out, like, that whole thing came out, and I was just like, I love Chris D'Elia. I think he's so funny. And
it's okay. He's okay.
I mean,
that aside, comedy has nothing to do with it, right? My point is, like, he was doing creepy shit. Like, I don't agree. Like, I'm 34. I don't know.
Right, but I don't even know what it was. That's what I thought. I thought it was something that came out where he was like soliciting underage girls or whatever.
That's what they try to pass it. But what happened was, is he would get like, he would roll into a town, open up his DMs, have 100 fucking DMs from chicks.
Well,
he doesn't know the age of the, so he just like, and he was being very, he's like, hey, come to my hotel room. And then if a girl's like, hey, I'm 17, he'd be like, peace.
Right. Which, yes.
Now, there were some girls who were like 18. He's like, yeah, which again, not illegal, creepy. Because if I see a 22-year-old chick, I'm like, I don't, what would I even talk to you about?
It's fair. Yeah, I don't know.
Right? But I'm older and whatever. But like, I get it. But like, again, like, it's not my thing. It's creepy, I think. But like, it's not illegal. So what are we doing? We're going to ruin this guy's career and his life because he was doing a creepy thing?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, who are you to judge? Like, I'm a creep in other ways. Like, everyone's a creep. You know what I'm saying? Like, every person I fucking know is creepy. Woman, guys, everyone's a fucking creep in their own way. That's creepy, sure, in one way that I don't agree with. But, like,
right.
It's not illegal. So it's just this hyper, like, cancel. And then rules, right, to, like, the canceling. So, like, if you politically
lean one way.
Yes. So, like, yes. So, if you look at the Gina Carano thing.
What? I can't keep up.
So Gina, you know Gina Carano is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so she just got canceled over. Again, this is irrelevant of if you agree with her or not. I'm just stating a fact. She posted. So she said,
Was she the person from The Mandalorian?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know the story of how she posted something. She's like, "Hey, like conservatives are like kind of like the Jews and like not like we're being like you know silenced and shit." Now.
Oh yeah.
Pedro Pascal, the Mandalorian himself.
Right.
He posted something about kids in cages and how America's like Nazi. Almost the same thing, but for the other side of the political argument.
Right.
Here's the thing. That picture he posted wasn't from America. It was completely false. It was all fake, right? He still has a job from Disney. Now, it's the same thing, just different sides of the political spectrum.
Right.
But why does she get canned? He doesn't. Now, I'm a hardcore libertarian. I don't really give a fuck about red or blue, but. I'm just saying, like, I look at that and I go, well, I still have nuance and I still see that's wrong.
Right.
So I don't have to look at Gina Carano and go, yeah, I agree with Gina. I don't give a fuck about Gina Carano. It has nothing to do with me agreeing with Gina Carano or not. It has to do with, well, if she got fired, then he should have got fired too.
Right. There's a precedent that you're setting and but you're also, it's the inconsistency of it. It's like,
pet peeve of mine is I have very few pet peeves. They are. Not taking personal accountability for things of your personal fuck ups that you do, bullying, and taking advantage of people, and hypocrisy.
Yeah,
I hate rules for thee, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I hate authority. So like I hate that. And when I see people go, well, I could do it, but you can't. It's like, well, no. Either we're all doing it or no one's doing it. That's how it goes. Like, so as soon as I see that, I go, "You're an enemy." And now I go, "You're an enemy to comedy. Like, you're an enemy to like creativity. You're an enemy to the art. You're an enemy to all of it because that affects everybody."
Right.
So like, like anybody in the creative circle, like you're a podcaster, you're in the creative circle, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a comic and a podcast. I'm in the creative circle. So like anybody in the creative circle goes, "Wait, so I could be completely shut down from social media and the public view because I disagree with them something politically?"
Right.
Oh, I how's that fair?
it's the three musketeer rule, you know, it's the all for one, one for all. And I mean, perfect example. We still have to take off our fucking shoes in the airport because one guy one time 10 years ago tried to light a shoe on fire and failed.
Don't even get me started on TSA. They are useless. They are a government propaganda tool to pretend to harass you. Do you know the TSA did a test on themselves
I bet they failed, whatever it was.
98% contraband got through.
They got
full guns through. Full guns and backpacks. And by the way, I bring weed on me with every single flight and no one stopped me.
Right.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've never not brought weed with me on a flight. And I've traveled a lot before COVID. So, I've never not brought weed. And no one, a dog's never stopped me. A person's never stopped me. About my fucking business. I've gone to Mexico with weed. I've flown back from Mexico with weed. Now, it's not like the grass. It's the fucking.
I mean, like, I've got on the plane for sure, like, with edibles and, like, crossed it and, you know, like, kind of stuff. It's not the I'm not like bringing bud onto the plane.
Yeah, no,
it's
that's
like
crazy.
Edibles and shit.
Don't know where I put my weed, but
that's a problem. You should find that.
Just but I have the pods, like the vape pods.
Nice.
Dogs will smell. I'm not like I'm putting them in a special container. I put them in a Ziploc bag.
Right.
And I throw them in my book bag.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've gotten on like airplanes with like lunch boxes with, and it's just loaded with edibles, you know. And
because
you can take food and not liquid for some
here
reason.
It is. It's on the floor. Boom. Bam! This comes out. So it's just this is just the fucking.
It looks like a.
And this is drive. This is the pen. This is the actual, and this is the pot. And then you just.
Technology is so weird.
Yeah.
It's so tiny. Yeah. It looks like you could plug that into your computer and like save files on it.
It looks like a USB drive.
Yeah.
I also heard the TSA, they've been told not even to look for weed anymore. Like it's like, fuck it.
Oh yeah. I heard that too. I didn't know if it was true, but I remember we went to Nevada and I was like, well, what are the rules? And it was basically like, if we find it, we'll like take it from you. So like, don't make it easy to find.
Yeah. So I also have a medical card for Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So like, if anybody ever stopped, I'd be like, oh, I forgot I had it on me.
Right. My bad.
Like, oh, I have a card. So I'm used to it's medicine. It's medicine. Right. Which it is, because I have fucking head trauma. So that's why I have, you know.
Right. No, it's 100% medicine. It's
but it's
weird how we classify that shit.
I know, but it's like no one's ever given me shit, and they've gone through my shit, and I was like, yeah, fucking.
Oh yeah, I forgot one time I had like a knife at the bottom of my bag. It was because it was like one of those flip knives that
because
it was a bag I don't use very much, you know. And, oh no, not a butterfly. That's
oh, like
so
a gravity
fancy.
Knife.
Just like a flip knife thing that guys. Knife. Yeah, guys carry for whatever reason. And I just like had it in a bag and they pulled it out. I shit you not. They pulled it out, opened it up, like swapped, like test swapped it. And then they were like, we're supposed to take it. Like, is it going to be a problem if we take it? I was like, I forgot it was in there. You can fucking have it. I don't care. And they were like, okay. And they put it back and let me go.
Yeah, so whatever. I don't want to get into the whole libertarian thing, but like, yeah, TSA is garbage. But like, yeah, it's just stupid. It's nonsense. But I do have.
But that's just like what I mean by like, you know, the reason we still have to take our shoes off on a plane is because one guy one time tried to light a shoe on fire 10 years ago and it didn't work. And we, to this day, we all still have to do it. If we're going to use those rules for that, then we need to do the one for all. Like, if there's one person that fucks it up, then you fuck it up for everybody.
And by the way, even with the shoe thing, half the time, I don't take my fucking shoes off. They're like, I'm like, do I do this? And they're like, no, just go. I'm like, stop yelling at me. I'm like, I don't know what to do. The rules are different for every airport I go into.
They seem angry. Some seem angry. A lot of them seem really tired and just like, don't give a fuck.
Because they're dumb people. That's why. I don't respect them. I just don't. I don't give a shit. It's fucking. Yeah. It's like your job's meaningless. Like you're not stopping the next 9/11, you idiots. Like, it's so stupid.
Right.
I'm also pre-checked. I'm also TSA pre-checked. So I just fucking it was so worth the $85. It's $85 for once. $85 one time fee for 5 years.
I've been looking into that, and it's looking better and better the more
it's
I look.
It's so
into
worth
it.
Again, I was traveling a lot more before COVID, so it was definitely worth it. Here's the fun thing about it. Anyone who's with you on your ticket, they get pre-checked too. And they can come with you along just for that flight. But I mean, as long as they're on you with the trip, but they get pre-checked along. Yeah.
You can't just like go grab a person. And
if they fuck it up, they can fuck it up for you too.
Fuck.
So if they get popped, they can pull your pre-check. So like, you gotta be careful. Yeah. So like, when I bring my wife with me, I trust her because I know. So I'm like, but anybody else, I'm like, go with the fucking security, dude. I don't fucking know. I'm not losing my pre-check.
I was going to say, I have super bad trust issues, so I don't know if I'd be bringing, like, friends or shit, you know. Not like, my husband, maybe. I might, but he might also fuck it up, so we might have to, like, do it separately.
Fair. I have a bit about the TSA and my stupid ads. True story thing that I did
How
with them.
Question about that side note, and then you can tell it.
No, I'm not gonna tell it because I hate doing my act. I'm just saying that's how much I hate them. It's like I actually wrote a bit about it. A true story that
a lot of rage.
Every time I go to the TSA, I do civil disobedience to them. And then this is the story of like me looking like an asshole, though. And it's a funny story, but it's in my act about it. But yeah, I just hate them. But I'm sorry, go ahead. What was your question?
Fair. So, like, how long, first, how long would you say, like, on average, your act is total? And then, like, how long does it take you to write, like, I don't know, an hour or however long your act is?
So, I mean, I just do what I get booked for, right? So, right. If I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I have, I would say, a pretty good 20 minutes. I have a pretty good 20 minutes of comedy, which doesn't sound like a lot.
It's fucking long as shit.
I have hours of shit.
Like, right.
You know, if you're saying, like, hey, put together your best stuff.
Yeah.
I could put together a pretty good 20 minutes. But if you're like, you want to kill an hour, it's like, I kill an hour, sure. But you're going to have 20 good minutes, and then we'll see. Like, you know, because I'm not a feature. At most, I'm a fucking feature, right? So, like, I'll be honest, I know where I am.
Right now.
I'm 8 years in, right?
Right.
So, like, I could probably headline a 20, 25 minute gig, right? But, like, I can't headline an hour.
Right.
So I could do a headlining gig, like a brewery show or something like that, for sure.
Oh, cool.
But like at a club, no fucking way. No way. I'm not passing any clubs, right? I'm passing zero clubs. So like I don't have, you know, so.
How do you get, like, what's the process with that? How do you get past?
Gotta fucking just make friends at, like, other comics. Get you in, meet you managers and bookers, and like maybe you'll get on a show and they'll see you and like, right, come back again. And they'll put you on a showcase and you gotta like. Impress them, and then you get. Nope. But like, it's fucking.
Nope,
I
could never do it.
Right before
I don't like
COVID,
people.
Right when COVID hit. Right before COVID hit, Aaron Berg, who's a very great comic in from New York, he had a show he did with Karen Feehan, who's a very good comic too, at the Stand Comedy Club in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's called Monday Night Frantic Show, and he gave me a spot on it, and then COVID happened, and I never got to do it. And that was my chance to get in front of, like, the guys at the Stand, like the bookers and shit at the Stand. And just get seen there.
Right.
I hang out there all the time. I have a lot of my friends go there,
right?
Who don't work there. So if I'm in the city, I'm hanging out at the Stand, right? Because that's
right.
Like, the Stand is kind of like the comics. It's like they're like against cancel culture. You know what I'm saying? They're very pro. The Stands, like the Legion of Skanks, do their shit there. Like, they're very pro comedy play, you know. So we all fuck around with the Stand, like, you know, the Cellar, shit like that. But I don't fuck around with the Cellar because I'm not good. For, like, for Cellar is the best on the East Coast.
Oh,
the Comedy
okay.
Cellar is the best comedy club where the best comics go on the East Coast. It's like the Comedy Store for New York.
Yeah.
And I know where I am. I don't deserve to be on the Comedy Cellar stage. I don't. Like, I know where I am at. Like, you know, I could be at other clubs, not that one. That's
okay,
not where I am.
Cool.
So I have to work my way to that. You know, that's where I want to get eventually one day. But the stand thing, fuck, yeah, that sucked. But that's how you get past the clubs. You pretty much, other comics vouch for you, and they'll take you
okay.
in. Like, hey, check them out. Like, give them a look. And then they could be like, yes or no. And if you say no, they'll be like, hey, come back, try again. Like, there's stories of guys who, at the store, comedy store, got turned down like fucking 8 times by Mitzi Shore. Before they got passed, you know, it's like,
my God, wow,
yeah, it's rough. But to answer your other question, like how long it takes me to write? So some guys could just sit down and write. I think we talked about this last time, maybe. Like, I think some guys just write. Like, just be like, I can write for an hour a day. It's like, okay, cool. Well, I can't.
Yeah.
So I need a premise in my head already, then I'll be like, okay, now I can sit down and try to write out the premise. But I can't just sit down and be like, okay, funny.
Right.
Like, but some guys can't. Like, Mike Neal, who I own this whole fucking network with and do my podcast with, like, he could just write and, like, write goofy shit. And I'm like, I can't, dude. I just can't. I need to be like, oh, that thing that happened to me at the fucking Target the other day was crazy. And I'm like, that was pretty funny, huh? I'm like, oh, what's funny about that? Well, that guy was pretty, the crazy thing that guy said. Huh. How did I react? Okay, and now I'm piecing the story together in my head.
Right.
And now I can go, okay, now let me flush out the jokes in this. But that had to happen to me.
Right.
I can't, like, let me make up a story about me and Target. I can't fucking do it. I just can't.
Right. No, I have respect for that.
It doesn't work that way. But some comics could be like, you were at Target. Like, this is the writing exercise. You were at Target. Something happened to you. Go. And they'll write you a fucking 7-minute bit about their Target experience that never happened. And you're like, God damn, dude. Hats. You know, like, right. Hats like I can't do that. It's not for me. So to answer your law, that was a long-winded way of saying everyone's different. That's my way of doing it, though, is I need a premise. And this is how it happens a lot. I'll be in my car driving, just thinking of listening to music, singing along, and then be like, huh, that's a pretty funny thing I just thought of. And I'm like, that is a pretty funny thing I just thought of. And like, you know, and then it's just like snowball.
Right.
And I'll be like, wait, write this down quick. And I'll be like, pull over and like write it down on my phone so I don't forget it. I have brain trauma, so I forget everything. And then I'll try to work that out. But yeah, I just can't do some whatever else does.
Yeah, I don't know. I take issues with the whole having to like get past at stuff. That's really intimidating. I don't like people. That's just not my thing. No.
You should write the comedy.
No, just no. I can't. I don't do other people. It's like it gets complicated and weird when you add another person. It's like I'm good in my head. It's fine.
Comics are also like luckily, like me, Neil, myself, like a few comics I have friends of mine are like have it together because there's so many
ooh,
comics
I bet
that
was
like,
fun.
Untrustworthy pieces of shit. Like they're just messes. And they have fucking just unreliable. Not even like on purpose scummy, just unreliable. And like, I'm like, hey, how could grown men not have $40 between you? Like shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like get the fuck together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And Neil and I, like Neil.
For
like,
real, guys. Come like, on.
Like, Neil has his house. And then he just, the studio I'm in right now is the basement of another house he bought next to his house now. I have my house. I'm like. Guys, oh like, we're adults. You gotta fucking figure shit out. You gotta get it. And then on top of that, you have guys who are just, like, fucking flaky. And I'll be like, hey, we can do that thing. And they'll be like, yeah. And they just fucking never call you about it. Or they never show up. It's like,
right.
Fuck, man. It's like.
Yeah. See, I'm a flake if it's like, we have to go meet this couple for a double date. I'm like, can we not? Can we, like, call and cancel?
That's different.
Like I'm that kind of flake, but
it's
like
social shit though. It's about like professional, like
right. But in yeah,
like,
but
hey,
in like a professional
like,
setting,
podcast,
like
yeah,
we
and then never yeah.
Thing, right, like we had a thing for tonight. I fucked up and completely forgot that you were on the East Coast, and I got and I even had like a thought about it before. I was like, I hope he didn't mean 8:30 Eastern time. And then I never went back to it. I was like, I had a thought of like, I should check on that and confirm and didn't do it. And then you texted me or, you know, messaged me. And I was like, should have done that. Completely my fault.
No, it's all good. I'm an Eastern time zone slob. Because all I know is really Eastern. I'm from New York and I'm in Pennsylvania now. So it's like, I assume everyone just works off our time zone, no matter where you live, because we're the first ones. So it's like, well, you have to kind of operate off us anyway. So I assume anytime someone's like 3 o'clock, I'm like, they must mean Eastern. That's my fault.
Well,
it's like an arrogant Eastern time zone person thing.
I don't know if it's that, though, because I have that. I'm like, oh, it's obviously Central time everywhere. Like, I mean,
I
clearly.
Because we're the first time. That's why. If I was LA time, if I was West Coast time, I would be like, no, I would assume East Coast time for everything.
Yeah, no, I would. Yeah, because like in my brain, Central time, like so Eastern time is like only New York City, and then like West Coast, like Pacific time is like only LA, and then everything in between, and like maybe Oregon and
well,
like
Mountain time, which is an hour behind you, right?
Yeah, but that's like El Paso. That's like only El Paso and Texas is on Mountain time.
Oh, like Colorado and like all those.
Right. Yeah. And then, like in my brain, it's like Washington, Oregon, and California is only Pacific time. New York City is Eastern time. And then everything else is just.
Is Washington, Oregon, and California not all West Pacific time?
No, they are. They 100% are.
Okay.
But like in my brain, it's only those three states.
Fair.
Like none of those other states exist. And they're just like, they're just Central time. But everything else.
Literally 45 minutes from Staten Island. New York, where I live now.
Yeah, but I have. But the worst part is, I have family. Like, I have family in North Carolina, in Pennsylvania.
Eastern,
like, so like I should know better. State College.
Oh, it's like an hour and a half for me.
Yeah, it's like real close to Amish country, I think. I don't know, I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
They make great apple butter, Amish.
They do.
They'll never hear this, but you guys make great apple butter.
They do.
And then, yeah, North Carolina, somewhere in North Carolina. I don't fucking know where. But then I have like family in like Santa Barbara, Memphis, like Thailand, just like all over the place. So I'm just incredibly self-centered and narcissistic and assume that everyone revolves around my time zone and all of your stuff should just be with mine. And I don't understand like why it's not.
You should do comedy. You check off all the marks of comedian, narcissism, check.
I don't think I'm
hates people,
funny,
check.
Though. Yeah, hates people. Get away from me. I don't think I'm that funny. I'm much better with at like dramatic stuff. But I also think that's kind of cheating because it's really easy to be dramatic. Like, you know, kind of like cancer is always fucking sad. Sexual assault, always fucking horrible. Like, there's... And so I guess I just have like a natural like draw and curiosity and like inquisitiveness toward comedy because I don't think I would be good at it. And I understand where like it becomes an art form, because if you can find the funny in something absolutely horrific, there is merit to that. Like there is an artistic form to
that. Are you close to like, what are you close to like a major town in Texas?
Dallas.
Okay,
Dallas is like
perfect.
45 minutes, an hour away. You've heard of us? Yeah, it's kind of small. I don't know.
Yeah, I hate their football team. I'm a Giants fan.
go Bears.
Oh, I don't give a fuck about the Bears. You should go to an open mic and try it.
There's one in the town that's next to me, but I also feel like I would have to be like high. Or like intoxicated of not like intoxicated, like drunk, but like high. I'd have to have like something in my body because I have really bad anxiety. And so I think I would get in my head too much. And it would be one of those scenes where like at the kindergarten school talent show, like you just see that kid that like walks on and then like walks off and then like walks on like 10 times and just like keeps going. And then they're like, fuck it, I can't do this.
Nah, you'll be okay. You just got to do it. Honestly, you just do it. Like, once you do it, now it's so, like, commonplace. You're like, get me on a fucking stage. Let's go. Like, get me in front of some people. Like,
oh, so it, like, took, like, how long did it take you before you were like, okay, I can do this. Like, I'm in my element.
Oh, you're never in your element. But, like, when you're not scared, I should say this. When you're not scared to just go up and tell jokes, that's easier to answer.
Okay, yeah.
It took me, like, 2 years, two years to be like, stop getting like stomach nervous.
Okay, but like, how often during those, like, were you at an open mic like every day or
So I was living in, so when I was 18, living in Staten Island, Manhattan's right across the fucking river, I would go four times a week and hit like 2-3 mics a night.
Oh, okay.
It was Manhattan, it was very easy,
right? Well, yeah.
I was also 18, so what the fuck else am I doing? And then, yeah, so I was doing that a lot, and that's how you get good. You have to just do it.
Yeah.
Like, just
I feel like that's
doing
just
it,
life,
doing
though.
It, doing it, doing it. Well, yeah, it's, what's it, Marshall Thurgood? Not Marshall Thurgood.
Thurgood Marshall?
Yes.
Just so flip it.
10,000 hours.
It's like 10,000 hours makes you, like, an expert or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which I don't know if that's true, but I mean, it sounds good. So let's roll with it. But
it's also a lot of time.
It does sound like a lot of hours. But I mean, yeah, so it's literally just you go out there and you're like, yada, 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 yada. Okay, now that didn't work. Okay, well, what worked in that? Okay, well, that little line worked. This line didn't work. Let's rework that second line. And then you go back up a second time and, you know, yada, 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 yada. Second line. And you're like, okay, that'll work better. What can we work on that? You know, and then some crowds, like, I don't like to blame the crowd ever.
Right, right.
It should be your job to, but there are occasionally some crowds where it is their fault and they're being assholes. And no matter how
I've heard that about Boston. I've heard that about Boston.
Like,
comedy.
Like, I'm like, you guys are just fucking not cool. Like, you know, it's like, it's
just
us.
Dicks. Like,
but that's rare. That's pretty rare. And if you hear a comedy like it's fucking crowded, like, no, it's you.
Okay.
Probably you. It was probably you. Like, if I eat shit or I like, if I have a lull on a set, I'm like, it was what didn't I say?
Right.
You know, it's not like, whoa, these fucking assholes are fucking.
Right.
Now,
well, no,
I did a show.
You have to have that, though.
I did a show a few months ago where it was the crowd. And I was like, you guys fucking suck. Like, we just started roasting the crowd. Like, I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to sit up here. Like, fuck you. You already don't like me. I didn't even say anything yet. Like, I got up there.
No.
And I opened with a fucking killer. And they didn't give me shit. And I was like, you know what? Because I was like the third comic. Off by then.
No, so you like already got the feel of the room. And
the other comics before me were good comics. Like I know them. And I
right.
Like, and I was like, okay, they're not doing bad. You guys are just being fucking asshole. Like you guys aren't just. I don't know what's going on, but that's rare. Usually it's like you suck, I suck. They're
right.
Fine. We're not doing our job. Like that's what usually
okay.
What it is. But you get that occasionally.
So can you like dive into the vaults of like the recesses of your mind? And like share in like one of your first bits.
Oh man, okay. It's listen. Yes, but it's I was 18 and I was going for cringe because I grew up listening to like Jim Norton, Patrice O'Neill, Bobby Kelly, Rich Voss. Like so, I grew up trying to like again not understanding. That there had a brilliance of nuance behind their shit, and I was just being a cringy 18-year-old thinking it was the same thing.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So
yeah,
one of my first bits.
Well, we're all fucking idiots at 18,
right.
So.
You have no life experience. You literally have nothing to talk about. So you're just trying to mimic other people, right? That's what you do. Especially new comics, you just mimic who you like. That's all you do.
Yeah,
like, Bert Kreischer talks about all the time. Bert Kreischer is a very famous comic. He talks about he literally just used to mimic Dave Attell because that's who his favorite comic was.
Yeah.
So, like, his early sets would be, like, sounding like David. He's like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just doing David Tell bits. So, it's, like, that's kind of... So, one of my earliest bits was, like... now I can't... Something, like... Something to do with first dates. And, like, it's always cute when, you know, they never really realize you're looking at them through the fucking, like, the tree line or something like that. I was making, like, a rapey joke. Like, a creepy rapey joke.
I was going to be like, you creeper.
Right, but that's the right, and now, especially in today's climate, this is 2005.
Oh my god!
So yeah, I understand the time, but like looking back at now, you'd be like, "That's a fucking crazy joke to make in the Me Too movement." It's like, yeah, again though, I was 18 years old. I was 2005. I'm just trying to be cringe because I thought that's what was funny, and not realizing like those guys aren't doing that. They're doing that, but in a brilliant way. I'm just being an asshole.
Right, right.
So like, it's this cringy shit. But one of my first jokes that ever worked, and I don't tell it. I haven't told it in a long time, so I will tell it. This is
okay.
I will tell it. It
you
was
heard it
here
first. Well,
it was
first,
my my cousin Mike is gay, and he was born that way. And I know for a fact you're born gay because when my cousin Mike was born, he was born via C-section, so he came out through the belly. So ever since life, my cousin Mike avoided pussy. Or ever since birth, my cousin Mike avoided pussy. So
weird.
That's the joke, right? So. That's the first joke that I ever wrote that, like, got like, a good laugh. And I was like, oh, okay. But that joke kind of sucks. Like, it's not that good. It's a whatever joke. But it's a fucking.
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty
whatever,
good.
It's a whatever joke. It's a whatever joke. But, like, it's such a, it's such, like, a jokey joke, too, right? It's almost like
yeah.
a, you know, it's like a da 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 da.
Yeah.
Know, like,
it's very, like, setup punchline.
Yes.
Ah.
Now it's like I tell stories and. Bits. It's like now I'm more refined and shit, but like that was one of my first jokes ever that worked that I told back when I was like 19, 18 that fucking
okay.
did well. So that was like that was one if that answered your question. You too.
A safe drive. Bye.
Bye.
Just at Adam Nutter on Twitter, Instagram, Adam Nutter Comedy on Facebook and TikTok. Yeah, I'm on TikTok, I know. And then Cult of Us, that's available. My podcast, that's my main podcast, is available everywhere on YouTube, youtube.com/cultofus. If you guys want to help us out on Patreon, patreon.com/cultofus, $1 gets you access to all the extra stuff. I also do a sports podcast, Slapstick Sports, and my other podcast I do is Garbage Opinions Podcast. I do with a few other podcasters. We just kind of riff about garbage opinions that we have. That's pretty much it. But check those all out. They're available everywhere. Follow me and all that good stuff.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We'll definitely do it again.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. So that's the end of part one of comedy / scams, and mostly comedy, with Adam Nutter from Cult of Us podcast. Follow all of his stuff. Links in the description. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Be back here next week for the rest of the interview. As always, you know, if you could like and subscribe if you're listening, watching on YouTube. Comment down below if you have a different relationship with comedy, or you think we're both insane, or, you know, whatever. You can always, or if you have a topic that you want to hear us talk about, you can always email us at manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. Follow us on all the things. Twitter, at @mpweirdopodcast. Instagram, the_main_weirdo1. That's our Instagram. Working on getting up the the Pinterest page. Rate and review us on iTunes. It supposedly helps us out a lot. And it's really lovely. I love to hear y'all's opinions on stuff. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, be kind and stay weird, guys. Bye. Thank you.